fall into this trap.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We were discussing about how Imam Ali alayhi salam was trying to, to apply a strategy in his governance that would kind of protect the Muslim community to fall into the traps of what the previous generations faced. One of the examples was the community of the Pharaoh or Fir'aun, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions in the Quran that it was drowned in the huge and the huge river, and they were all destroyed. And when he explains about that community and how it was destroyed, he says that Fir'aun was a person who sought loftiness on the earth, and he divided his population, and he weakened a certain group and gave strength to others. In other words, he was creating this kind of social disruption that was causing a lot of corruption to go on earth. And now Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying that just look at these nations of the past. Are you facing the same situation? And it was the duty of the people to realize that yes, we are facing that situation. Muslims had to realize that just like the previous nations were living in a wrong environment, even they were in circumstances that were not good, that were forcing them, that were pushing them into a very bad ending. Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was the treasure trove of God's knowledge, a spring of his wisdom, for whom the truth and the falsehood was crystal clear. He knew the lessons of the past, and he witnessed how those lessons can be applied for the present and the future. Now he wants to draw out a strategy for the betterment of the society. So imagine a person like him. He will definitely draw out a plan that would protect the Muslim community from falling into the slope of destruction that the other communities fell into. Destruction like oppression, corruption, killing one another, difficulties and problems that would encapsulate people and, shackle them and destroy them. This was what Imam Ali alayhi salam was trying to make the people avoid.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. So now we realize that the Muslim community was kind of backtracking to the olden days. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam was so concerned about this society. They were not being careful about the steps they were taking as a community. And therefore Imam Ali alayhi salam comes and says, "Ala wa inna baliyatakum qad 'adat ka hay'atiha yawm ba'atha Allahu nabiyahu." That, O people, beware. Your difficulties and problems, your actual sickness has returned like it was at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final messenger, was sent to you. Those same sicknesses are there right now. You have the same symptoms. So beware and take care, take the right steps. Imam Ali alayhi salam is addressing a group of slumbering people who are aware of the past, who knew, who lived, who themselves experienced the age of ignorance, but who are not aware of what's happening and the implications of what's happening today. They were not able to have that awareness of comparing the previous situation that they were in and the present situation that they are experiencing now. He wanted to show them. He wanted to portray to them and explain to them the present reality of what's happening to them now. This is the actual heavy responsibility of those people who have knowledge, those people who are aware. Their responsibility is that, apart from just reminding them and telling them stories of the past, they need to be able to offer strong and firm analysis of what is happening today. They are supposed to be able to show the relevance of those issues that happened in the past in the world of today. This is the importance of a scholar, the importance of those people who have knowledge and have awareness. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to follow the footsteps of Imam Ali alayhi salam in trying to understand our situation today and analyze it properly. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه. Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there will be many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil. In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work.
You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Ortman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity. A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular. The engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff, but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail. Deep poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge is a 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtanaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems, but think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically attack to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset. Just tagged the giant, 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another session of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Hujjatul Islam Said Salman Naqavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University and teaches in Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, dear scholar. How are you?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much. I'm fine.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, Mr. Naqavi, in our previous episodes, you talked about different elements of education and you explained two of them. Well, as you said, there are six elements of education. I would want you to shed light on other elements of education as well.
Yes, the starting point and the end point. The end point, as I wanted to emphasize on the fact that it's the behavior that is expected.
Yeah.
Behavior we want to carry out.
Yeah.
We want the child to carry out.
Yeah.
And for that, I also touched upon the third element.
Yeah.
Was the parent himself who wants to bring about the change.
Okay.
And I also touched upon, referred to the child himself or herself who needs to
be changed.
Needs to be changed. So we need to understand the various aspects of the human being. And as I mentioned that, whether we as the educators or the guides, and the child as the human being who has to be changed, we all have the apparent behavior,
yeah,
which emanates, as I said,
yeah,
above the surface.
All right.
From our physical bodies, whatever actions we perform superficially, they are the behavior we want to change. But the behavior changes from within, and that is the domains of change or the categories of change. The knowledge has to change, the skills have to change, the attitude has to change.
Yeah.
Basically, every type of behavior,
mm-hmm,
has these three basic elements within that behavior. I mean, if you don't know what you want to do or what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
if you don't have the right attitude,
yeah, Right.
And the emotions and the feelings and the urge to carry out that behavior.
Yeah.
And you don't have the physical skills to do them. Right. I mean, just a simple form of behavior. I want to drink this glass of water.
Okay.
I know this is water.
Okay.
I know what it is for. It is good for it. It quenches my thirst.
Okay.
I know that. All and right. I'm thirsty.
Okay.
I have the feeling, I have the urge for the water.
Okay.
So these are the two elements, knowing and feeling.
Okay.
And then the third element, which is also very important.
Yeah.
Just picking up the glass of water and drinking it requires the physical strength.
Yeah.
The physical coherence between my mind and the muscles that are there in my hands.
Yeah.
If they don't move properly and in coordination, I won't be able to do that.
True.
A child cannot do it at a very tender age. He has to learn that. So there's learning. If the behavior that is expected from a child, that he should be able to pick up a glass of water and drink it and not spill it.
Yeah.
So you need to give that knowledge to him.
Yeah.
What he should drink, what he ought to drink, and what he ought not to drink.
Yes.
You have to make him feel out for things which are beneficial for him.
What is not beneficial?
And what is not beneficial? His preferences, his attitude must change.
Okay.
And then the physical strength and the physical skills required for that action and behavior have to be taught.
All right.
So the starting point is a child who does not know how to pour water into his glass.
Yeah.
He can't pick it up. He can't take it to his lips and drink it.
Okay.
And so that is the starting point.
Okay.
So the expected behavior, the end point, the result that we are looking for is when he is able to pick up the jar of water and pour it into his glass and then take it up into his hands and bring it to his lips and drink it.
Okay.
That is the expected behavior.
All right.
So here's the child, the person who has to change. There's the changer, the person who is providing that learning and the learning experience. And the father, the parent, or the guide, or the mentor. And there's the change in the end point where we want to take him. The changes, the domains, the categories of behavior change, that is beneath the surface.
Okay.
That is his knowledge, his attitude.
Okay.
His skills have to change.
Okay.
That is where the learning has to take place.
All right.
And then it will result in the change in the apparent behavior.
Okay. I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Brother Naqavi, you said that there are different elements of education. What are those elements?
So we have the six elements here. Number one, the child who's being changed.
Okay.
The person who is bringing about that change.
Yes.
The parent.
The mentor, the guide.
The mentor, the guide, the trainer.
Parent or the teacher.
Yes. Yeah. And then the starting point where he doesn't know how to drink the glass of water.
Where does he start from?
What is
the output he wants?
And the result, that is the ending point. So these are the four things. Then we have the change, the domain, the categories of the change which take place within. The learning which has to start from within.
Okay.
And the learning experience, the road map, the path, the experience, the learning experience, and the teaching or the guiding, instructing experience, that is the path between the start point and end point. So these are the six elements of upbringing and education that are generic,
okay.
Not just for this situation of child upbringing, any form of education,
okay,
any form of behavioral change which is brought about within a person as a person who is being educated,
yeah,
whether it is in formal education or it is in informal education.
Informal education.
I mean, so we come to the domains,
yeah,
or the types of education, which
right,
we referred to in our first session also.
Yes.
In any setting, in any environment, if it is formal education,
all right,
it could be the university,
mm-hmm,
the college, the school. It could be at home.
It could be
if it has college or university, that is called formal education.
Formal education, yeah.
But at home, it is informal education.
Yes.
But the elements, the six elements are the same.
Same.
They are the same. The learning experiences will differ.
Okay.
Because in formal education, you have a syllabus, you have a curriculum, you have a course outline, you have,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
You have examinations and you have... So those are the specifications or the elements of formal education.
Yeah.
But the six elements are the same.
All right.
Whether it is formal education.
Or
whether
it's
it is informal education.
All right.
Or even nowadays we have a third type of education, non-formal education.
Yeah.
Which, of course, there's a difference of opinion. There could be... But specifically when you go, for example... If we have a pre-marriage counseling course,
yeah,
where we learn how to become a good parent,
you're,
that is a sort of non-formal education because you're not getting a degree for that.
Yes.
So that is also a type of education.
Okay.
So whether I mean to say that whether any type of education we can take, informal education is the education, upbringing, which takes place in... At home,
okay,
and even in society at large,
mm-hmm,
because the human being, the child, is learning from society also.
Yes,
the media, the society at large.
Yeah,
that is also a place of education and learning.
I'll talk to you on that note after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Brother Naqavi, you said that there could be very different types of education. It could be formal, it could be informal, it could be through different mediums. It could be through school, it could be through universities, colleges, or it could be even through your society or the social media that is at a very easy access now. And
it is influencing a great deal.
Influencing
what,
a great, yes, deal, yes. And you're saying the elements remain the same at each level, who is being taught, who is teaching, and the knowing and feeling thing and the output, what is going through within, and all that, what we already talked about. So what about these types of educations?
I mean, basically, when we talk about these types of education, I just want to impress upon the fact that education is a very holistic
It's an notion. Umbrella term.
It's education as an institution.
Yes.
When we talk about as institutions in society.
Okay.
Not just institutions in the sense of being a formal institution which is registered in some, you know, office or organization. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Institution as a form of behavior, social change and social,
yeah,
behavior that is entrenched in society. Education is an institution.
Okay.
And it is an institution which spans all our lives.
Yeah.
Because our religion, our Holy Prophet says, you should be a learner throughout your life.
Throughout your life.
And when we talk about...
from cradle to grave.
From cradle to the
grave,
he's not talking about formal education. The Holy Prophet is not talking about formal education.
Formal education.
It's learning all the time.
Yes.
I mean, even when we're working... As professionals, we should be increasing our knowledge, our skills.
Yes.
And changing our attitudes.
Yes.
it's a progressive change in society, in our behavior, and becoming excellent behavior. Because when we talk about behavior, that is the performance that we have to carry out, the expected behavior. That is very important.
Okay.
We have to classify that. We have to see how it is in various relationships. We're not talking about good behavior or religious behavior in the specific sense.
Okay.
We're talking about behavior in a very holistic way.
Okay.
So education spans through the whole of our lives.
Okay.
Our relationship with ourselves.
All right.
Is one type of behavior, how we eat, how we drink, how we clothe ourselves,
mm-hmm.
how we take care of our mental health,
yeah.
how we take care of our physical health.
Yeah,
that is a good behavior with ourselves.
All right.
The good behavior with our Lord Allah Almighty in the specific sense
mm-hmm.
of worship, devotional worship.
Yeah.
And then we have our relationship with other human beings.
All right.
The behavior, the preferred behavior that we have to carry out with other human beings
well,
in various aspects of life, in the family, in the society, in our workplaces, in our places of study. And then we have our relationship with the environment.
All right.
So it's a very extensive thing which we have to talk about in education.
All right.
And
all
especially,
right. So
I want to emphasize on the fact that when we talk about good behavior and good practices, we need to talk about that a little more.
All right. So definitely we would want to expand on that note. But here we conclude with a note that if we want to have any kind of behavioral changes, we as parents first need to reach that target. And then only we can guide our children. And education does not only mean, and it's not a very small term, it means to first, educate yourself, reach that output, and then expect your children to be there. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Inshallah, we'll talk with you in another session on talk more about Islamic upbringing. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media by just searching Call of Islam Radio. And you can listen back to our programs on our website, that's parstoday.com. And in parstoday.com, you will find a tab with the name Call of Islam, wherein you can find programs of Islamic upbringing. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from Q&A on Islamic belief, in which you'll get the answers to all your questions. So let's start, but before that, I'd like our guest to introduce himself to us.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Sheikh Noor Muhammad. I'm very happy to be here.
And I'm very glad to meet you here. As a modern issue, we could say that social media has made such an addiction in many people of different ages. You could see children, you could see adults who are getting really addicted to these social media. According to you, as a religious scholar, what are the ways to treat that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, this is one of the most prevailing questions, and many people ask such a question about that. Unfortunately, our children have been addicted to the social media, and how can we solve this problem? You know that...
Or let's just put it this way. Is there any way for it to get solved?
Of course, there is. You can find lots of ways for solving this problem. You know that, first of all, maybe one of the best ways for tackling this problem is to give some work and some entertainment. I mean, some entertainment by... for example, playing and have some kind of, let's say, for boys, some football, some other...
So have some other replacement.
Replacement, I mean some activities, physical activity beside the social media, because it is very important. You see, unfortunately, some of our boys and girls, they do not have physical activity. Rather, they have virtual one. And it is... let's say, very dangerous for the health, for mental health and for the physical health. It is important for our children to have some physical activities, running, you know, having some different find, you know.
To make use of their energy.
Yeah, to make use of the energy and to let it go.
Yes, exactly, to let it go.
Because it is very important for our children to be away from these to some extent. You know, sometimes it is necessary to have some, you know, interaction with this social media. But for the most cases, they need to have physical activity and to engage in different playing and to have some kind of physical face-to-face dialogue with the friends, to go out, to breath, you know.
Exactly.
And to have a fresh and active, let's say, physical...
Engagement.
It is very important for the health, for the health, not only for our children, even for also...
For the adults, of course.
For the adults. You know,
they'd better put their phone at home and then leave and take some fresh air and then have some walking, jogging or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, of course, there is no doubt that the social media or so-called, you may call it technology and many other branches of that. There is no doubt that we need this kind of, you know, usage of the social media.
Yes, after all, there are tools that are going to make our life easier.
You know, you can name a lot of usage.
Exactly.
A lot of, you know, you may enumerate a lot of usage of that for your businesses, for your, you know, you have virtual university, a study, so on and so forth. But after all, do not forget that these are some tools. Some tools for benefiting for some limited others. It is not, unfortunately, it has become a trend among even some adults.
Exactly, that's the point.
To misuse and to overdo, you know, using this kind of, you know, social media. And it causes a lot of health, you know.
Issues and problems.
Yeah, issues and problems and a lot of, you know, engagement, you know, in mind. And your mind is always busy.
Exactly.
And it has, I think, you know, my listener and my audience, they can easily understand
what
I'm talking
about. It's a relatable issue, you know. Everybody is actually engaged with this problem. Everyone wants to have a solution for it. So as the first advice you said, we have to find some replacements and have some physical activities.
I want to point out this idea that it is not, unfortunately, it has become a norm and it has become a, I don't know how can I put it, maybe it is a great culture I'm, for example, when I used, you know, I'm always engaged in the social media, and it has, you know, some people, they use it as a, like, they want to show that I always,
they show off with that.
They want to show off with that. It has become a kind of trend, some kind of norm for some people. Even you're talking with people, with some people, they, you know, engage themselves playing with the, you know,
yes. You know, they want to say, I'm not caring about what you're saying.
I'm not caring. I'm, for example, I'm very modern person. Mm. I always have, you know, different. You know, first point is to get out from this hallucination.
Exactly.
Oh, boy, what you talking about? This is not a great idea to waste your time into that social media.
This wasting time is really bothering everyone.
Not
you
so
know, you close your eyes, and when you open it, it's been an hour, 2 hours. You could have read a book, you could have wrote something, you could have went somewhere, but you were just spending time in a virtual world and doing literally nothing.
Exactly. The point, first point is to understand. First point is to get out of this ignorance, to understand that this is not modernity, this is not technology, mm-hmm. Okay, you know. This is not technology that you always engage yourself in different, you know, social media and different, you know, interaction. Rather, if you want to be successful, if you want to be successful into your career, whether you are a student of university, whether you are, for example, businessman and any other career that you have, if you want to be successful, you should be active. You should use the power of your mind, the power of intellect.
Exactly.
It is very important to make your mind empty mm-hmm. of whatever not relevant to you.
And have a clear plan in your head.
You know, exactly. What I mentioned was the exact translation, you know, the last part of many narrations that we have from Ahlul Bayt, that to make, do not engage in whatever is not relevant to you. Many things in this world, many other stories, many other news that you find in social media, to be away from whatever is not relevant to you. Of course, I do not want to sound to be, you know.
We don't want to say that don't care about the issues,
exactly.
What they call it, the modern issues of human beings. We don't want to say that get away from all
exactly.
those things and be a person who is immaterial to everything. No, mm-hmm. we just want to say don't overdo that.
Don't overdo that. Yes, exactly. And to understand that many news, many things, maybe they are not relevant to you.
Yes, yes.
There is no need for you to understand whatever happening in this universe, false,
exactly.
maybe most of them, maybe they're false mm-hmm. news that you are receiving. Rather, go to prioritize your, you know, contents that you want to receive. Many things that are necessary for me to understand, but unfortunately we are ignorant about upbringing of our children, about our interaction with the husband and wife. Many ideas we are ignorant about that. About your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you want to do that? I want to say that we have a lot of points that we are ignorant about, and we do not care about them.
Yes, we do not go and read for them. We spend time on social media, which is not going to give us
exactly,
much of things.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Many things that we are ignorant about, and of course we are ignorant about our ignorance. And we do not know that we do not know
anything. Which is very dangerous.
Very dangerous. And we want to, decipher many points and to receive many news, many points. Of course, granted that these are halal. Granted that, of course, I'm talking about halal mm-hmm. issues. But unfortunately, you can find a lot of haram issues into that.
There are different materials out there.
Yes.
And it depends on your choice again.
Sometimes if we cannot, control our look, eyes, maybe we cannot be a real follower of Imam al-Mahdi, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it causes a lot of, damages for our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the last savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salatu wassalam.
Yes, so we were talking about the very controversial issue which everyone is so engaged with, that is the addiction to social media. And we said that there are some different advices for that. At the very first point, you need to get to the point that, okay, I am an addicted person and I have to get away with that. So the first point, except that you need to change your priority, you have to make a plan, then you could add some replacement for the time you use your cell phone or whatever kind of social media. Then you could have plenty much of plans for yourself, whatever that could engage you in a better way. You could make use of it. So is there any other advices you could have for us?
Yes, sure. You can go to the mosque. It is again... for worshiping
Allah.
Spiritual
engagement.
Yes, spiritual engagement. It is very important to have some times in mosque for prayer, for talking to our friends, for neighbors. You can find a lot of enjoyment talking to the brothers and sisters in mosque. And for example, go for vacation, for having some fun. Beside that, let's say to have some study, go to the gym, have some kind of exercises,
activity we already talked
about. Yeah, it is. These are very important for the health of body. To have physical activity, especially for the elderly people, and sometimes it is necessary for them to have some physical activity and exercise.
Yes, for their health, it has got so
health.
Much of benefits.
Just to not to be alone. Try to be in gathering, in congregation, visitation to your faithful brothers and sisters, to be in public, to be in a gathering, okay? Not to be alone, because we have in some narration, when you are alone, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too much, because it is a very great opportunity for Satan to entrap you.
To get into your skin.
Yes. And one practical point is whenever you want to use your cell phone, try to make it clear your aims and purposes, okay?
Yes.
In the beginning, decide.
Make it clear with yourself.
Make it clear. It is practical and very important point. You want to say that for some, for half an hour, I want to go and use these ideas. For example, I'm looking for the scientific issues, some many other
reading
points.
Articles or whatever.
Yeah, reading articles, story, anything. But make it clear not to dive into the social media with purposeless.
Not to lose yourself in there.
Not to go to that without any already planning.
Uh-huh.
Just pre-plan and then go to the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I do
that. So that you could guard yourself from staying there for too long.
Yes, I personally do that. I advise my children when they want to go to the social media to pre-plan, make it clear. For example, for this limited hour and for these aims and purposes, I'm looking for this social media and then it's done, finish.
Exactly.
I do not go and check different anything, make my mind busy. And the
overwhelm yourself with sort of things that is not relevant to you.
Really, really. It
so
is not
we were talking about social media and addiction of everybody to this world, to this virtual world. Thank you for listening.
حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Palestine Declassified.
Welcome to another episode of Palestine Declassified, where we examine the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. We'll be talking to the founders of Palestine Action this week, a group that successfully chased Israel's largest arms company from its London headquarters and forced it to sell its subsidiary for anti-technologies in Oldham. I'll be speaking to experts to find out more after this report by Bianca Rahimi on this unprecedented victory against Israel in the UK.
The heroic Palestine Action campaign against the largest Israeli arms company, Elbit Systems, has taken many twists and turns. From activists being arrested and placed on remand to many being acquitted from court cases, even by magistrates, one thing has remained true. Elbit Systems fears the disinfectant of sunlight. As Israel's number one manufacturer of killer drones and other murder machines, Elbit Systems has a gruesome reputation. It has recently been thought to own the company which manufactured the bullet which killed Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Akleh. It has also been a key player in the building of the illegal apartheid wall in the West Bank. It also has numerous large contracts with the British Ministry of Defence. Despite this, Palestine Action has again and again shut down Elbit Systems factories in the country. Just a few months ago, we reported here on Palestine Declassified that the group forced Elbit Systems to sell one of its subsidiaries in the sleepy English town of Oldham at a loss. Ferranti Technologies was sold by Elbit Systems for £9 million, which is millions of pounds less than what it was acquired for. This was thanks to the coordination of the local community and Oldham Peace and Justice alongside Palestine Action. Initially, this was contested by the company, which claimed the sale of Ferranti was merely due to a reorganizing of their portfolio. However, later in a court case, it was admitted by the UK Crown Prosecution Service that Elbit was forced out of Oldham by Palestine Action. Now, there is more great news of Elbit's retreat from the UK. We are happy to announce that the London campaign by Palestine Action has forced Israel's largest arms company, Elbit Systems, to abandon its London headquarters for good. This is an iconic moment in the global struggle against Israel. It has been confirmed that Elbit Systems have vacated the offices of their HQ in retreat from the marching tide of Palestine Action. Good riddance to Elbit Systems. Long live Palestine Action.
As always, we're joined by our resident expert, David Miller. David's an academic and former professor at Bristol University and a leading British scholarly critic of Israel. And he's a co-founder and co-director of the lobbying watchdog, Spinwatch. I'm also pleased to say that we're joined today by two founders of Palestine Action. As I said at the top of the show, this is the group that shut down two Elbit Systems sites in just 6 months. This stunning achievement is a true testament to their tenacity. I'm joined in the studio by Huda Mori. She's a Palestinian-Iraqi activist who's been involved in the Palestine struggle for many, many years. And Richard Barnard joins us via Skype. Richard's another founder of Palestine Action, who I understand is currently banned from London by the Metropolitan Police. Thanks to both of you for joining us and welcome to the show. Let me start with you, if I can, Huda. I mean, how did Palestine Action force Elbit to sell its subsidiary for anti-technologies in Oldham?
So the so Albert subsidiary in Oldham was actually a target for local campaigners for many years. And Palestine Action launched in July 2020, and we were determined to take direct action against all of Albert's sites in Britain in order to force them out of these towns like Oldham. And so many activists had locked on under caravans to block the roads, had locked on to the